Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I guess I wasn't the only one that kind of saw through the bomb news yesterday, or the explosive news that was in the news. Anyway, you are listening to the only show that is providing you with a constitutional perspective as much as we possibly can regarding all the events and regarding all of the trains, as I call it, pulling into the station and the carnage that has been constantly occurring for probably well over a century since the communists really began infiltrating our education system, our politics, and so forth. With that, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798Part2.org, and RepublicReview.org. I appreciate all those tuning in, and I appreciate the fact that you're spreading the word, because it's not about popularity. It's really about educating those who care and those who are willing to get engaged, because we are getting engaged with your state legislators. We are reaching out. We are doing everything we can to ensure that when the hammer falls, your state legislators will, one, be prepared, and two, ready to act in protecting you from federal tyranny and literally allowing the federal government to discarding the Constitution for political expediency. They have discarded the Constitution before for whatever purpose, from Nixon, FDR, Wilson, and Lincoln. That's right, Nixon. They discarded, or I should say, they set it aside, because do you remember? Nixon was actually setting prices, dictating how much meat would sell for, and so forth. Remember that? Yeah, Congress actually let him, and they set aside they usurped that power, and it caused all sorts. I'm telling you, you can't pull this over on the old America. But with the fact that we have 10 million dolts that have been indoctrinated by the school system entering into the electorate or the voting process every year, 10 million, as I pointed out yesterday to a close friend, that's 50 million people in 5 years. How many people voted in the last presidential election? That's one third. And these kids have been weaponized, and they are foaming at the mouth to be able to throw away their liberties, get rid of their Second Amendment rights. That's how they've been programmed. And so we don't have a lot of time. That's why it's important, and that's why I am humbled, and I truly appreciate all of you tuning in. I appreciate the fact that you're getting the word out, because the only reason more and more people are tuning in isn't just because they're just accidentally stumbling across Red State Talk Radio and Reclaiming the Republic. It's because other people are saying, hey, you gotta listen to this guy. He's taking an academic approach in supporting his arguments and so forth. That's why I try to cite Federalist Papers. More importantly, I try to cite the ratification debates, as well as other official acts that are actually official documents in supporting not even my thesis or theory, in supporting Jefferson's argument of what we need to do. And if you're familiar with the resolutions of 1798, thus the 1798Part2.org sponsorship. As I was just saying about the state legislators and how we're trying to educate them, and hopefully you will be helping us as well, this show is really dedicated to supporting them. As a matter of fact, I have said in my first book, and by the way, I'll try to remember when I get to the crowdfunding to remember to include this, but I remember telling people that, you know, how long does it take? Have you ever heard the old adage that if you continue to repeat something and you're expecting a different result, then isn't that the definition of insanity? Have you ever heard the definition of insanity is continuing to do something but expecting a different result? Well, why is it that you believe, or anybody believes, that if we vote for the right people to go to D.C., that'll fix the problem? Now, I am telling you, there are some outliers, and Trump has been kind of, in some ways he's an outlier. He's actually doing some things, but in some ways he's not. And that's why, you know, I still reserve my, I'm going to wait till he's done with his presidency to really give you a full assessment on what he's done. But he has actually done a lot more. And I'll actually talk about that regarding his presidency and moving forward. The other fact that this show is really designed in working with the ground leadership and ensuring that they are going to develop and nurture the next generation of real leaders who understand what needs to be done so that they can, when they get in, they can start doing the job. And if you understand how important that is, it is critical. It's like, how many kids today graduating college or high school understand what they really need to do to go and do the work? They've been more socially programmed than anything else, and they practically have to learn on the job processes and so forth because they've been stuck in the indoctrination centers for so long. So anyway, the whole point of trying to go through this, who we're supporting, is just so you know that you can get on board with supporting these, because those who are willing to commit, because if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, we have pledges out there. It's go to the petition script page and you'll find some of the pledges that we have. If you want one for your state up there, by all means. It's just that I've got so many other things to do, I can't do everything at once. And that's one of those things that kind of falls by the wayside, or it's just not bubbling up in priority at this point. But anyway, the whole point is that if you can get on board with this, then that means that we are supporting those who are willing to commit, sign that pledge to not only protecting their constituents in their legislative district, in their state, but they're actually stepping up in front of Goliath, in front of the beast, to protect all of us. That's why this is important. And so I laugh, but I hope you get it. I hope that you understand that this is for the big, you know, the big ball or the big prize, because when it comes to liberty, once it's lost, once we have lost our Constitution, that one thing that has galvanized our protections from the tyranny of government, once we lose that, it's over. There's no revolution, because I tell people, these preppers, I tell all these people with guns and auto reloaders and all these things that, you know, oh, I'm going to fight. I'm telling you, you're going to lose the battle, because the technology and the ability that they have to rain terror upon armies as well as individuals. Yeah, you may be able to survive a little while, but you will not be able. The only way we'll win the war again is literally through divine intervention, where God comes down, just like with Moses in Egypt, where, you know, it is famine, feast, and, you know, plagues and that type of thing. Because the level of technology, and if you look at what they're doing in China, the big brother has been set up. We'll get into all of that, but let me get into the crowdfunding. One of the things I haven't done yet, and I keep on forgetting to do this, I do want to incentivize those who are willing to actually contribute. If you contribute to a certain dollar amount, then what I will do is I'm going to give the contribute, you know, that person is contributing a book and or a set of books, signed books, and so forth. So that way you actually are getting something out of this. And I pray and hope that those who buy my books, I know the people that have bought my books now, because I don't peddle them, are really people who actually want to read it. As one person said, yeah, I just want to know what's really going on inside your head. I just, you know, it's interesting. So as you go through, and if you go online and you just look at the table of content on the Moby Strip Press page of the first three sections, the first three books of my first book, because that book is actually four books in one, you'll kind of see that I cover a lot of material in that. And so hopefully you'll get something out of it. It was, I did my best in trying to write that academically. So anyway, I'm going to try to create some thresholds of contributions, so that if you give this much, then, you know, we'll send you off a set of books and so forth. And so anyway, go to GoFundMe and just search for Reclaiming the Republic, and you'll be able to kind of see and just keep attuned with that. If you donate, that means you kind of get on the rolls. And so when we do updates, you'll automatically get updated once you've been connected to that GoFundMe page. The whole point of that is literally, I am not looking for millions of dollars to change my lifestyle at all. And I will prove that as we move forward, because I'm going to start posting the receipts of, you know, what we've spent that money on, so that you can actually say, oh, wow. Really, they're not using that at all for any personal endeavors or anything like that. So bottom line is, if you start connecting with it, and if you do donate, then that way you'll actually start being able to find and follow the money. And you'll see that the money is literally going to help educate, to reach out and to build bridges and to actually get this moving and working. And so with that, I need to do a little groveling. I got about 20 seconds here. If you want to support, and if you are in a state that you don't think is maybe on the radar, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I would also ask that you go to the Constitution Club, just check it out, go to your state, go to your county, look at the members and so forth. You're going to want to become a member of this. And that way you can actually start becoming a part of the, I don't want to say the attack, but we are going to start mobilizing using the Constitution Club in getting some state legislators educated and educated quickly. So I hope you join that as well. And so I'm at hard break. So we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And as I always say, and as of today, like every other day, I did check the news. Like yesterday, I found out about those those bombs that were being delivered to all these high-profile Democrats. And so there is no sign. There's not going to be a sign. And I may actually grow tired of saying this, and you may grow tired of me telling you this, but I think it's important. I think it is paramount that we finally get it through, as we say in the Marine Corps, your brain housing group, that the federal government will never relinquish any of its usurped powers that it has taken from the states. So for us to actually get our liberties back, for the ability for you to flush as much water down your sewage that you want instead of being regulated by D.C. Now, it's different if your state does it, if it's with, but again, that's why I went through the constitutions, general, enumerated, and so forth. But 9 times out of 10, most state constitutions do not allow even the states to regulate you to that degree. They could if you're willing to let them, but the federal government has a very high bar in changing things. And we can talk about how to change things at the state level. It's really not that hard. We just have to start waking up county commissioners or supervisors and letting them understand their position as the sovereigns of the county, what they should be doing regarding that state constitution. But anyway, no, there's no sign. There is. I look out my window. There's no sign that the federal government will relinquish any of its unconstitutional roles, powers, and what have you. So let me give you something to think about. We've talked about these bombs, and we've talked about, you know, how all sorts of analysis by people as they started really pondering. And you could just tell by, you know, the quick snapshot, I did not need to look for a long period of time to realize that, I mean, just the whole concept of all of these bombs showing up the same day. And so there'll probably be more waves, but the funny thing is that this could not have gone through a real mail process. As people have pointed out, it seems like there's no postage on, or there's postage on it, inaccurate amount of postage and no postmarks, like it actually went through a postal service, because that person, whoever did that, would probably have been caught by the post office. I honestly believe that there's probably more deep state involvement in this than anything else. And this is literally a charade. And I would even say that if you finally get to that point where you acknowledge the fact that there has been manipulation and control from the news and everything else that we're being fed in a propaganda machine, if you believe that, and if you don't, I would just ask you to Google Rockefeller admitting to the New World Order. Go read that, because Rockefeller thanks, and I think it was 1992, John D. Rockefeller thanked all of the primary news agencies for assisting in basically helping them move the world, New World Order, and the progressive agenda forward over the last, I think, 4 or 5 decades. He was thanking them because they would not be that far. And how emboldened do you think he was in saying, now we can actually come right out and say it because we're so far down the road, there's nothing anybody can do about it. I don't think Mr. Rockefeller understands our Constitution. I think that there's lots of people on the progressive side, because they're so constitutionally illiterate, they don't get it. And that's why I'm banking on you. I'm banking on the fact that you will get it. You will understand that that baby's a contract, and it's a contract written for by the states, and the states have the ultimate authority. Nobody can refute this argument. I've gone to quite a few different constitutional professors and scholars. They don't refute the argument. They just don't like it. And that's okay. I understand it will break their gravy train. They may actually lose their job. Okay. They're smart. They've got a doctorate degree or what have you. I'm sure they can get a job somewhere else. We don't need all of these colleges sucking us dry. And we definitely don't need these colleges continuing the indoctrination of, you know, the government agenda and the propaganda that the government drives along with that money that they hand out. And so we cannot forget the fact that this literally is, and even if Trump is a part of this agenda and using this caravan and the military and everything else, I don't know. All I know is you have to question almost everything you see in the news today. Believe nothing, question everything, and that's probably the best motto you could go by. And when you start questioning things and you actually put your eyes on paper, you read the source documents, and you understand for yourself what those things are saying, then you'll get it. Then you'll start going, huh, because I was talking to a very good gentleman the other day who was saying, you know, I kind of believe in almost all of this stuff, except, you know, those chemtrails. you lose me there. And then I scratch my head and I go, okay, so I get it that, you know, you may be doubting that, because I believe that there are, you know, you can actually see contrails. Contrails have been around for a long time. But I've actually seen contrails, you know, literally, and I don't mean to make this show about chemtrails, but I've actually seen a plane flying overhead, and then all of a sudden the you could see a visible change in that contrail, its density, its brightness, or what have you. It literally changes, and then that plane flies by, and then that contrail changes again, because I have a great hillside perspective of a long ways. And as I watch that contrail, at the point of where it changed, the contrail before, it just, I mean, it's gone. It's just like it was a real contrail. But when it changed, that becomes a lingering substance in the air that just starts moving and, you know, literally dissipating in the, you know, prevailing winds in the atmosphere. And you're going, that's not your typical contrail. I don't know what it is. I'm told that there's a lot of geoengineering and that type of stuff. No, interesting. Okay. I don't have the time to fix or figure that out. All I know is, and we don't have, we could go down and try to chase every little facet. That's why if you go and watch that video that I have on YouTube, go to my Take Action page on Reclaiming the Republic. Go down below my two presentation slides in PDF. And just click on that YouTube link. Watch that video. And in that video, probably within the first 5 minutes, you'll see there's a monster with all these heads or all these arms that are literally coming off of this Leviathan. The point I'm trying to make here is one of those arms could be chemtrails. The other arm could be abortion. The other arm could be immigration. The other arm could be the IRS. The other arm could be Obamacare, Common Core. I don't care. You can just start listing all of these things yourself. These are the distractions. These are the things that they want you to focus on. If you start focusing on and understanding what it takes to kill the beast, then you'll get it. Then you'll understand, hey, you know, we're actually not that far away from being able to do something. And that's why I'm focusing on the way I am. And that's why you want to tune in here. And let me plug one more thing before I go too far. If you go on reclaimingtherepublic.org as well, I have a candidate endorsement page. Go there onto the candidate endorsement page and send some love to Marty Halverson and Chad Christensen. They are fighting a machine. At least I know Chad Christensen is, and Marty has expressed that she's over on a progressive side of Wyoming. She needs to get reelected, and she's a great staunch supporter of conservative constitutional values, and she has signed the pledge for Republic Review. So I would just ask that you please go there and throw them some money, $5, $2, whatever you can afford. Just send them a little love. If everybody listening right now would actually do that, if it was $2, she would have more than enough money to get a huge ad campaign blitz, maybe even TV ads. Because I know that there's that many people listening. And I know that if we just applied a little bit of faith, remember, what was it? The faith of the size of a mustard seed? The size of a mustard seed could move a mountain. And so if you just applied $2, a mustard seed, and everybody applied that, then we could literally move mountains. And that's how we start getting these candidates elected. So anyway, let me move on from this this bomb thing, because there's no doubt there's lots of people that are getting on board that are starting to recognize that this thing was a massive failure. It was a good attempt, but it was just literally a massive failure, because a lot of smarter people, I should say, are not necessarily buying into the hype and the hyperbole, right? I will say this, though, and I want to go on the record before we go to our next break. I truly believe that within the next 2 years, if not three, China will be moving and invading Taiwan. They are no longer going to acknowledge Taiwan as an independent territory. They've already been pulling them and pulling them in. And so the question I have is, as if you understand what Hitler did when they started, when he started mobilizing the Third Reich, when he started mobilizing his future dream or the plan, do you believe that we should actually sit on our hands? Because as you understand, if you would have looked back at the early days of Germany, that was the point in time when we would have been able to save a lot of lives had we intervened. We should not allow Taiwan to fall. We should actually be supporting Taiwan to become an independent state because the people of Taiwan want independence. They do, just like Crimea and all of the little Georgia, the places that the Soviet Union is continually going into. And so anyway, I will be right back after this hard break. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Well, I just realized that I still have a lot of stuff to go through. So let me just plow forward. I just want to be on the record that it's not going to be too much further down the road when China invades Taiwan. As far as businesses supporting progressive causes, are you still watching NFL? I mean, have you not recognized the fact that they are supporting social justice and communism? These aren't hard leaps at all to make. And as a matter of fact, when you start looking at how they throw their money and what they're trying to do, they're trying to be the politically correct appeasers. But when they're actually funding things like social justice, which if you go on Google it, it means communism. What they're doing is they're supporting the subversion of our country. It's just that bad. But if you have a conservative business, if you want to be a champion of a patriotic cause, and you want, because if you want, just let me know. You can advertise on this show. How great would it be? You hear these companies complain like Hobby Lobby about being forced into Obamacare and having to pay for things that they have a moral conscience against. You think that those companies would say, you know what, we really need to be backing the solution that's going to undo all of these things, that we're losing our liberties and being forced and compelled to doing things that we have a conscientious objection to. So you would think, and hopefully I'm trying to hire. And as a matter of fact, if you have really good crowdfunding skills and you want to be my, whatever you want to call it, a campaign chair, or you want to, help drive that, we need success behind that. And so I'm more than willing to entertain anybody coming along and saying, you know, hey, if I can drive these kinds of contributions in, you know, then I don't mind giving somebody something like that. I myself believe that it is immoral to be doing a public service and then lining your pockets with gold. I do believe that there should be some level of compensation if it's a job or what have you. But if this is a righteous cause for you, then, you know, and that's why I complain about all of these patriotic supposed entertainers, these conservative entertainers, because they're not patriotic. They're just entertainers. They're making big money. They're making millions of dollars. They have huge market share, and they're not contributing to solving anything. Their focus is expanding their market and making money. That's not mine. And I do not want to be doing this. I hope to be able to retire. Or the other possibility is that we go off the air because they finally pass laws that silence speech and what I am doing will be considered illegal. So anyway, let me give you something else to think about. The Judicial Watch Director of Investigations, which is Chris Farrell, and you've probably seen him on Fox News. He just got back from Guatemala and just released the following information that I want to read. And that's why I would highly recommend you get on the Judicial Watch email notifications. The same thing with G. Edward Griffin and the Need to Know News. And oh, by the way, the Constitution Club provides you with good educational content, as well as pointing you towards really good educational content and articles and so forth. And so anyway, apparently Chris Farrell had disclosed that Guatemalan authorities had recovered 7 unaccompanied minors from human smugglers and who were working inside this caravan. The Guatemalan authorities have taken the children into custody and they are being given medical checks, food, water, and so forth. If you don't understand what these kids are, why they're smuggling these kids are going to be sex slaves. I was absolutely shocked. It was literally a culture shock for me when I realized how alive and well the sex trafficking is. And that's became friends with a huge hero in our local area, Aaron Tilbury, and he basically started exposing me to the facts. And just in our small little rural area, we have about 1,500 kids trapped in the sex slave trade that are, you know, moved in and out and so forth that are from this area. There are thousands and thousands of kids that are trapped in this. And so, again, that's another one of those things. If you want to solve these problems, then we have to get the federal government out of all of these things. And so these are all the little distractions that one person can easily go down and go, I'm going to stop abortion. Well, you know what? I know millions of people have gone down that path. And how much closer are they to getting abortion out of the federal government purview? I will tell you, change your position, start supporting Republic Review and the audit, get the states to audit, and you'll watch the states strip away all of the federal jurisdiction that they have no constitutional jurisdiction over, such as healthcare, such as life, such as education, energy, so forth and so on. So anyway, the smugglers, fortunately, have been arrested, and they're actually looking more and more into the caravan because they know that there's more of this. This is only the tip of the iceberg. Here's another thing to think about. Think about this. I mean, here goes Trump, and he just signs an opioid bill, you know, to help and try to address this opioid crisis. If you remember back, Bush did some similar things, but he just threw good money after bad, because he was throwing money supposedly to try to stop AIDS in Africa and so forth. But I honestly believe what he was doing, and I've got to look into what Trump is doing. Is Trump actually, you know, throwing money out for loyalists who supported him? Because Obama's administration was steeped with that. Clinton's administration was steeped with that. And I believe you'll find the exact same thing in the Bush's administration as well. They're paying off loyalists. But it seems like what Trump is actually doing is really trying to do things such as the ocean cleanup bill, or just recently the Medicare price reduction bill, things that are actually good that may actually help a little bit from, you know, all of their tyrannical powers. So what gives? I mean, is Trump really trying to fix things, unlike all the past complainers in chiefs? Because it seemed like the past presidents that we've had have really done more to contribute to problems than they have to really fix problems. And so it makes me think, and I'm hoping you're thinking as well. I want you to think of it this way, though. The federal government has no authority to be getting involved in drugs, period. The states need to be drawing those lines. The ocean bill cleanup, the federal, they don't have any responsibilities in any of these things. If these are nice, noble things, but if you want the federal government to be able to clean up the ocean, to be able to, you know, take on an opioid crisis, or to inject itself in, you know, to create Medicare in the first place, you've got to amend the Constitution to allow them to do this. In other words, this Medicare price problem is all started because of the federal government. Now, the ocean cleanup bill, that's something different. But the opioid bill, you know, and actually that's something different. All three of these are really different sources to different problems. And so, anyway, I'm trying to figure out what gives, and I'm hoping that, you know, these are actual good things that cause pause for people. But I want you to look at these things as, you know, the federal government should be dealing with these things in the first place. You know, we would be far better off if the federal government had very little influence and very little effect on our lives. That's what the state governments are for. The other thing I noticed today, and the only reason I'm going to bring this up, is because I was so upset when I heard Megyn Kelly ranting on Fox News about Governor Abbott. And it looks like, because she may be losing her morning show, she might actually be losing her 15 minutes of fame. Or her, you know, her extended 15 minutes of fame. The point is that when she was railing against Abbott and she scoffed under her breath like he knows anything about the Constitution, everything she was asserting was inaccurate and literally unconstitutional. She doesn't know anything about the Constitution. More than welcome. If you wanted to call in, Meg, I'll be happy to walk you through the Madisonian School of the Constitution. All you got to do, folks, is just read the ratification debates, and I'll tell you what, it'll part the seas for you. I could go in, and I actually kind of threw this out yesterday regarding what's going on in the NFL and how sick. This is an ideological war that's even penetrated our entertainment system, where, you know, Carr has been injured because his own players are allowing him to get injured because he doesn't stand up for their cause. And how racist is that? You know, how ideologically harmful that is. Moving on. I know Caitlyn Jenner's been in the news a little bit, and the reason being is I think that Bruce has finally lost relevance and is just trying to get reinjected, because I think that this whole thing about her costume, you know, the transgender costume, if you hadn't heard, I'm Kate, that's out there, and now he is going after Trump, she, whatever. I think that this is just a way of trying to maintain relevance for an agenda. You know, if it's one thing about the Constitution, but if it's not, because bottom line, if the federal government is doing something that's unconstitutional, call it out as tyranny. But all these other things, you know, that's just a part of the distraction. And so it's time to move forward. And when we get back, I want to finish off this 49th article of the Federalist Paper. And I want to give you a sampling of Madison's letter to Mr. Jackson. So we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so, as I was talking about this Article 49 of the Federalist Paper, if you remember what I said the past couple of days, this is literally a response, or actually... yeah, it's a response to an anti-federalist paper that was calling into question Jefferson's call for using conventions in dealing with encroachments. That's why the title of the 49th article is Method of Guarding Against Encroachments of Any One Department of Government by Appealing to the People Through a Convention. Now, so Madison kind of throws everything into this concept of these conventions, but he didn't understand, I don't think, the full application of the audit process that Jefferson actually deployed when he went into Virginia. And so that's why, when you look, there was no call for sending out, and in this article, there is really no call for, I think he understood somewhat, but he was literally identifying and actually clarifying in this very last paragraph the reasons why you wanted to guard against an amendment in Article 5. He doesn't mention it, but he talks about the reasons why you want to kind of constrain these things or be very careful of them. Because 9 times out of 10, they are designed, especially when you're looking for changes, they are designed to chase the passion of the change rather than the reason of the change. And so if you understand what we're doing with Republic Review and the audit and what Jefferson and Madison ended up doing, how many years later was it? Basically 10 years after this Federalist paper. Is that right? I want to make sure I'm going to give you the right information. It's right here at the top. Yes, February 1788. So it was 10 and a half years later when Jefferson and Madison went out to do and call for what I call the audit and this Republic review. When you look at what they were doing, that is very clear why they did not send a petition for an Article 5 convention to change the Constitution. What they wanted to do was they wanted to pull the states together in rebuking the federal government. And they understood that they actually had mechanisms, but they needed to get to a basic majority first. And getting a super minority. So a super minority is when you have more than one fourth of the states. Why? Because when you have more than one fourth of the states, that means that there is not three fourths of the states that are willing to surrender to an amendment in giving the federal government this ability to silence political speech or to be able to, you know, stop or to give them the full power of amending the Constitution for health care, for energy and the education, all of those things. Because once you have one fourth or over one fourth of the states, 13 states today, if you have 13 states, there is no way the federal government can submit an amendment and get an amendment through, because those 13 states is a super minority to keeping the ratification of that amendment. And so moving forward into gaining more states, and if you look at how many red states there are, if you look at how many states that are, you know, are really so fed up with the tyranny and wanting to regain control of their land, their resources, and everything else, and get the federal government and all these unconstitutional regulations off of their back, I will tell you that we will probably quickly go past 13 and we'll quickly ramp into possibly 30 states. And with that, we will have enough of a majority to literally force the federal government into compliance. Now, we'll get into that more and more as we go on, but let me just tell you this. This is what Madison states, and as I state this, are these words that Madison is writing here, are these the words of deceit? Or have we been taught from our education system the words of deceit? I'll let you decide. In such a posture, this is the very last paragraph of the 49th article. In such a posture of things, the public decision might be less swayed by prepositions in favor of the legislative party, but it could still be expected to turn on the true merits of the question. It would inevitably be connected with the spirit of pre-existing parties, and when he says parties here, he means factions, or of parties springing out, or factions springing out of the question itself, like the COSP that's currently going, that group is a faction amongst us. And so it would be connected with persons of distinguished character and extensive influence in the community. It would be pronounced by the very men who had been agents in or opponents of the measure to the measures to which the decision would relate. The passions, therefore, not the reason of the public, would sit in judgment, but it is the reason alone of the public that ought to control and regulate the government. The passions ought to be controlled and regulated by the government. We found in the last paper that mere declarations, the written constitution, are not sufficient to restrain the several departments within their legal rights. It appears in this that occasional appeals to the people would be neither a proper nor an effectual provision for that purpose. How far the provisions of a different nature contained in the plan above quoted might be adequate, I do not examine. Some of them are unquestionably founded on sound political principles, and all of them are framed with singularity, ingenuity, and precision. And so what he's really trying to state here is he was not an advocate for really opening up the Constitution via a convention. He didn't really fathom and he didn't really understand when he wrote this article that this mechanism in dealing with encroachments wasn't necessarily a convention where you had to open it up. I believe it was the divine insight of the hand of providence in the Article 5 process that requires that the states have to apply to a convention, to Congress, to be able to amend. The fact of the matter is, and Jefferson points out later in 1798, that they have the inherent right, and Madison even recognizes that and points out that they are duty-bound to interpose and arrest the evil whenever the federal government goes beyond its enumerated powers. And so this is a bridge. This is kind of like the stepping stone from the states of the notes on the state of Virginia to the to the Kentucky and Virginia resolution. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. So this article right here is kind of like the bridge between literally the Jefferson's book on the states of, or the notes on the state of Virginia, and jumping into this concept of republic review and taking action and making these resolutions out of the states. As he was saying here, that they have called several times, and that the mere demarcation on parchment is not enough, that the states actually have to create these barriers, or they have to be active in pursuing enforcement of their contract. If not, then you will find that the federal government will sashay up and down the aisle all over our Constitution or our contract. And that is a well-documented fact, because if you look at how much money the federal government is spending on unconstitutional powers, roles, responsibilities, it just boggles my mind. Everybody keeps on complaining about the industrial military complex. Sorry, folks, that's actually constitutional. It's the Social Security. It's the social programs. It is the Medicare. All of those things are unconstitutional. We're going bankrupt because of unconstitutional government. If that concerns you, then now's the time to step up. Now's the time to get smart on this. And so that's why the next thing I'm going to read, and what I will do is I will kind of give you a little precursor, because again, this is a letter from James Madison to John George Jackson. This was 1821, after he had stepped down from his presidency. So this is just an insight on Madison's perspective. So what I'm giving you is not hard documented. You got to follow this. But this actually states the common sense argument that the contract is a contract, and that the only way you can understand that contract is through the negotiations. So I'm going to read the very last paragraph here. He says, "But whatever might have been the opinions entertained in forming the Constitution, it was the duty of all to support it in its true meaning as understood." This is the key part here. "As understood by the nation at the time of its ratification." How could the nation have understood it? As it was explained during that ratification debate, and how they accepted it based on those explanations. That is precisely how contract law works. That is precisely how everything moving forward from how it was sold and bought in as a contract. Those are the lingering definitions, clarifications, and so forth. That's how critical the ratification debates are, and I'm telling you, my friends, they are legal appendages, and it was divine insight by the hand of the Lord in making sure that those things were documented and preserved so that we can read them today and have our eyes opened on really what that Constitution means. And so, I am G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I do need your help. Thank you for tuning in, and I will be back tomorrow. God bless.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.